You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network, Friday edition. Man, this week just flew by. It's Sam, it's Sage, and it's the 308th episode. I did not catch the Thursday night game last night, Sage. I was calling a high school football game, the 6A quarterfinals between Maple Grove and St. Michael Albertville. And I don't know how fast news travels to Omaha, but maybe you even caught this on Twitter. It's going around right now. The ending to the game went something like this. Maple Grove down by 17. 1 minute to go. 1 minute to go. Touchdown. Onside kick, they get it. Next play, touchdown. Onside kick, they get it. And then they score the go-ahead winning touchdown with 4 seconds to go. All in 1 minute. Have you ever heard of a finish that insane?
No, nothing that crazy. I mean, the most shocking thing, really, is I would say the after that first onside kick that they scored in one play. I mean, that is really... where the game was lost and the game was won. I think less than, you know, the obviously the first touchdown, you know, onside kicks do just happen, but you know, when a team's trying to come back, you have to make them earn it. You can't give up that big play right off the bat. You have to make them run, you know, 5, 6, 7 plays to try to, you know, work their way down the field, and by that time the game will be over.
Do you have any high school games that for better or for worse stick with you to this day?
No, nothing like that. I didn't play in any, you know, classic high school games that went to double overtime or crazy comebacks or crazy wins. I will say a basketball game, we had something almost similar. There was a game where we were down by 5 with about 8 seconds left, and I had the ball. I got the ball near the top of the key, and I pump faked, got the defender up in the air, sort of jumped into him to get the foul, threw it up, and the ball went in. So now we're down by 2 with, I believe, 5 seconds left or something. So I go to the free throw line. I take, you know, usually I took, used to take, you know, 3, 4 dribbles to the free throw line. You take your time. I took one dribble and just rocketed it off the front of the rim. The ball came screaming back to me, sort of high in the air. I get the rebound and then put it back in. Right down the middle of the lane. It was almost like everyone was sort of surprised, you know, sort of a surprise attack there. And the game ended up going into, I think, double overtime. That was probably one of those, you know, just crazy classic high school basketball games that I was lucky to be a part of.
And so often people screw up the intentional missed free throw because you don't practice it, and a lot of people will just fire it off the backboard. It won't hit the rim, and then the officials blow it dead. Or they shoot it, you know, under the rim or something. But no, it sounds like you executed it perfectly. Nice job.
Well, we had sort of practiced it. You know, it's one of those, you know, situational things you practice during the game, the intentional miss. And, you know, I know our high school coach was, you know, kept saying, you know, sort of shoot it off deep and, you know, to the right or to the left. And we had a plan, you know, it was to go to the right. You know, which makes sense. You sort of want everyone going to the same spot if you know where the miss is probably going to be. But my thoughts were, you know, how come I want to, you know, even I want to miss it hard. You know, I want a real clanger. So why not, you know, just be accurate with it and really just fire it off the front of the rim, which I don't feel like I see very often. I feel like I see players sort of shoot up, you know, maybe high but or deep and hard, but I, you know, really did rocket it off the front of the rim. It came, you know, firing back to where I was, gave myself a chance to get the ball.
That's fantastic. Well, you are the newest Vikings contributor to the rising superpower, theathletic.com, and you filed your first piece, I believe, yesterday evening, or maybe it got released this morning. For those who have a subscription and can access that, why don't you tell them what it's about and how they can subscribe? And I believe you have a promo code as well.
Yeah, I think it's something like $3.50 a month for a subscription. And I believe you get about 30% off if you use a promo code. I think it's theathletic.com/sageadvice is sort of,
nice.
I guess, my promo code. They decided to go with Sage Advice, I guess, is my weekly column name. But yeah, Michael Russo, obviously, not a football guy, more of a hockey guy. It's his specialty. He gave me a call a few weeks ago, said they were looking for somebody to do Vikings coverage. And so, obviously I write for The Score every week. A lot of times we talk about those articles, and now I really get to focus on the Vikings. So, it should be a new experience for me now. I get to write two articles a week, and never thought I'd be a writer as far as a journalist. Always like getting into the broadcasting game of, podcasts and radio shows and those types of things. Now I'm writing two times a week. So, really enjoyed my first article. Obviously I get to write about something. I was very lucky that, my first week, the number one story in the news obviously was the quarterback situation for the Vikings. Teddy coming off the PUP list, Sam Bradford going on the IR list, and now it's Teddy and Case. And what's really amazing about these two guys now is we truly do have two quarterbacks that have almost the exact same style of play. Where Bradford was much more of the pure pocket passer. Now we've got, two mobile quarterbacks who have done a very good job. And Teddy, a couple years ago before his injury, was really good at, making his offensive line look better, scrambling out of the pocket. When somebody would miss, he'd move around. And Bradford, that wasn't really his style nearly as much as these two guys. So I think the Vikings got two really good quarterbacks, and I tried to break down both of them in this article.
Let's move ahead to the Redskins here. If you name any one person on their roster, there's probably about a 1 in 3 chance that they've got some sort of injury or malady right now. They've got a long, long injury report. It's almost hard to digest. Not everybody is necessarily out long term, but a lot of guys limited at practice, a lot of guys dealing with shoulders and ankles and hamstrings. You've looked at the injuries, you've looked at the stats. What do you make on this Friday here before this Washington game?
Well, what's really interesting is, their starting running back is Robert Kelly, who'll be number 20 in the game. But in essence, their most viable player other than Kirk Cousins offensively is Chris Thompson, who is really their backup running back, number 25. He leads their team in rushing. He also leads their team in receiving. He has, I'm looking at here, 35 catches this year. And the number two guy, Jamison Crowder, number 80, has 28 catches, and he did not play last week, I don't believe, and it has a hamstring injury, may or may not play this week. Jordan Reed, their number one tight end, he has 27 catches. He did not play in the game last week. They missed three offensive linemen, did not play in the game last week. So this team is 4-4. So they're in the hunt in a very, very tough division. But man, they have hit the injury bug really, really bad this year. And so we'll see if they can pull off another upset this week. Because they are a really beat up team, but they went into Seattle last week and got a huge win for that franchise.
It's interesting to look at their defensive stats because there's a massive discrepancy in their tackling stats. They've got linebacker Zach Brown, who, by the way, is also hurt, and I don't think he's going to play this week. He's got an ankle injury. He's got 86 tackles. The next closest guy is DJ Swearinger, who has 36. So there's a 50-tackle difference between their top tackler and their number two tackler, which has to be indicative of just nobody being healthy enough to amass enough tackles to get close to Brown. You mentioned the offensive line is banged up. There's a name that Vikings fans recognize, and we recognize TJ Clemmings could very well be the left tackle in this game for the Redskins with Trent Williams on the shelf. Right now, Everson Griffin has a little bit of a foot injury, but Mike Zimmer thinks he's going to play. And if they've got Griffin going up against Clemmings, the Vikings know every weakness that he has. Do you feel that a team, if they know a player very well, that they try to exploit that player more than usual?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, people don't realize, how much, one key player, an Everson Griffin on offense, how teams have to react to that, in particular when he's going against, possibly a backup tackle. In some way, then that team has to sort of respond, and that not only is Everson a good player, but now we got a weaker player trying to block him. So what are we going to do? We're going to leave our running back in, or try to have protections where a running back is chipping that player. to make it harder on Everson to get to the quarterback, which then sometimes will cause, you know, say the Vikings to go, you know what, let's blitz the side of the running back so he can't chip. You know, he has to obviously then, you know, block the running back has to block the linebacker to his side, which then Everson would have a true one-on-one situation. So, you know, it's not really a good sign for Washington. You know, their weakness is their offensive line right now, I would say. The Vikings, you know, one of the team strengths is their defensive line. So that should be a really big, you know, sort of mismatch in this ball game. Being that is the case, look for a lot of screens, a lot of wide receiver screens. I know they love hitting the running backs on running back screens, or, you know, motion them out of the backfield and sort of throwing wide receiver screens to them. It gets the ball out and gets the ball into playmakers' hands in space, and really helps out that offensive line.
Their best defensive player is probably Josh Norman, their cornerback, who plays generally on the left side of the field. He's one of the shutdown corners, one of the best in the league, and I imagine he'll be stacked up against Thielen or Diggs or whoever's on that side. What do you think about Josh Norman's game?
Well, he's good, and you know, he's one of the best in the game. And obviously, the Vikings receivers, you know, have to make sure they don't go AJ Green. You know, that happened last week. You know, so he's a very good player. He's long. People don't realize that he's a, you know, cornerbacks who are really long, long arms, long legs. Sometimes they have problems, you know, say breaking down because of those just long limbs. But they can get their hands on you. They can grab you and hold you a little bit. And they just have great leverage. And so, you know, he is very, very good. He's making something like $16 million a year. He's one of the highest, if not the highest paid cornerback in the league. But to be honest with you, he probably deserves it. I think Carolina, they didn't want to deal with sort of the headache because he's a trash talker. And you know, obviously he wasn't a great fit for that football team. But when they let him go a year or so ago, they let go a really talented player. And he's one of the main reasons that they won that game last week in Seattle.
Speaking of Seattle, they got the win last night against Arizona, as we predicted. So I notched 90 in the confidence meter game. You notched 80. And we go to our remaining picks for the weekend. Three games involving NFC North teams. I will pick first because I think you picked first more often. Packers at Bears is the first one. Packers at Bears. Green Bay hasn't won without Aaron Rodgers. The Bears are coming off a bye, and they are at home. And I think I'm going to take Chicago with 60% confidence. You know, I've been picking Green Bay a couple times here because I just thought that Hundley was eventually going to break through, and this offense is really in shambles. And they just released Martellus Bennett. But at any rate, Chicago's been tough at home. Green Bay is really struggling, and I think the Bears off a bye are going to get this win.
All right, I'm going to go with the Bears too, but I'm going to go with 90%. By the way, I actually think Brett Hundley hasn't played terrible. And, you know, I watched them play. I mean, he throws a good ball. I like his awareness in the pocket for the most part. It does seem like McCarthy just continues to sort of throw the ball short. You know, when you call bootlegs and, you know, the guy that's open is, you know, a yard behind the line of scrimmage, that's not the quarterback's fault. So I actually think Hundley is played okay so far. I just think the Packers just aren't a great football team without Aaron Rodgers. And so I like Chicago in this game for the sort of the reasons that you said, that they play well at home generally. I like them coming off their bye week. So I'm going to go 90% with Bears in this game. There's a lot more to this Bennett story than people realize. I think there is some drama going on in this Green Bay organization. You know, Bennett he and his brother are very sort of active players in social media and sort of speaking their mind about a myriad of things. And you know, after he was released, or after I think New England was going to pick him up, he had a couple of tweets basically about, you know, you at some point in time, I'm going to sort of speak my mind about what happened in Green Bay. So I think there's a little controversy going on within that locker room and within that organization right now. And I think that's, you know, bad signs for the Packers.
Very bad signs. And when their rock, their foundation, Aaron Rodgers goes down, the warts start to get exposed. And in the past, when he's gone down, they've also been exposed. And, you know, for whatever reason, that front office hasn't surrounded him with a lot of talent. They didn't have much of a fallback plan. They don't have the kind of defense that Minnesota does to deal with those kind of issues. I think maybe the tenure of Mike McCarthy is tenuous at this point, might be hanging in the balance. Let's go on to the Browns at the Lions. Speaking of the Lions, if there's any threat to the Vikings in this division, listen to Detroit's remaining schedule. Cleveland, Chicago, Minnesota, at Baltimore, at Tampa, against Chicago at home, at Cincinnati, and at home against Green Bay. There are not many tough games in there. The toughest road game there might be Chicago. You know, honestly, Baltimore is okay. Tampa Bay's not very good. The Bengals aren't very good. The Packers aren't very good anymore. The Lions could definitely win six or seven games here in the second half. That's going to, I think, pressure the Vikings a lot down the stretch. Do you think they handle Cleveland? I guess I should make the pick. I think they handle Cleveland. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go 100%. 100% the Lions beat Cleveland. As you said, the Lions have a much easier schedule the rest of the way. That game when the Vikings play the Lions one more time, that basically is going to be a playoff game. I mean, that's almost a two-win or loss ball game. That is going to be a huge game. The Vikings have a much tougher schedule. I think I said the other day that they have, I think, five of the remaining eight games are on the road, including three in a row. Here coming up pretty soon. So the Lions have an easier path to win this division. There's a pretty good chance that both of these teams might make the playoffs.
Indeed. And I put 95 on the Lions, by the way. And now our final pick, it's the Minnesota Vikings and the Washington Redskins. Vikings are slight favorites in this one. On the road at Washington, I believe the Vikings will win the game. I am not overly confident. I'm going to put 50 on it. I think off the bye, I think the Vikings will be well prepared. We were talking to Laquan Treadwell in the locker room yesterday, and he said a big difference between last year and this year is that last year when they were 5-0, a lot of people took off. They partied, they vacationed, and he didn't use those words, but he said a lot of people left the facility to do their own thing. This year, a lot of people stuck around and kept focused on the task at hand. They put in work, they lifted, they watched film. And I think that Mike Zimmer has tweaked some things out of the bye. I think they're going to be a little more stable than they were last year out of the bye. And I think Minnesota wins this game 26-20, the reverse score of last year when the Redskins beat the Vikings. 50% on it.
I'm going to go with 80% in Vikings. I do feel good about this game. In a lot of ways, and you know, one is the Washington's so beat up, and two, I really do like the Vikings are coming off this bye week, so it is a big game for them, for the Vikings, and I think they're going to play well. I think it's going to be 24-17. I think the Vikings will be about a touchdown this game. I don't see it being a super high scoring game, and I see the Vikings defense really shutting down this Washington offense, which has so many injuries.
Before we conclude, why don't you give us a pregame X factor, somebody who's going to impact this game who might not be on the forefront, somebody a little below the radar.
Pregame X factor, Tavius Murray. He has sort of been the number three back and then now the number two back. But that field in Washington usually is a mess about this time of the year. This might be one of those ugly, grinded out type of football games, and we're going to need him to go out there and get a lot of first downs on third and two. In those muddy situations. So he may not have 100 yards, but I believe he'll be an important asset in this game.
I'm going to go with Rashad Hill, the Vikings' backup right tackle. Mike Remmers is still in concussion protocol after getting concussed against the Browns, which means Rashad Hill will likely be the right tackle for the Vikings on Sunday. He's gotten in there a couple times this year, and he's done pretty well. He's going to be key. I think the Redskins have a decent pass rush. They have some nice defensive ends. I assume Ryan Kerrigan will be rushing against Riley Reiff most of the time, but I still think that front four is pretty decent for Washington. And the blocking needs to hold up. Obviously, Case Keenum is good at manipulating the pocket, good at avoiding the sacks, but you don't want to send too much pressure his way. So I'm going to go with the backup tackle for the Vikings as my X factor heading into this game. So we've got the same three picks this weekend, but we have varying levels of confidence in our teams. You're putting a lot on your team, Sage. You've got Bears 90, Lions 100, and Vikings 80. You better
root going for it.
Better root for those NFC North teams.
Yeah, I think I'm going for it this week. So, you know, it's Separation Sunday. Let's see if I can get a little lead on you.
Yeah, that's right. You're up by 90 in our confidence meter game, and you're up by one game overall in our picks. You are 25-12 after last night's Seattle win, and I'm 24-13. Have a good weekend, Sage. Who does Iowa State play?
Iowa State plays Oklahoma State in Ames, Iowa. It's obviously a really big game for them. They're currently sitting at 6-3, and their two remaining games are away games. Kansas State and who am I? I'm missing somebody. Kansas State and Baylor. I think Baylor then Kansas State at the end of the season. So this is a really big game for them. If they get a win this week, and this would be another sort of shocking upset as Oklahoma State is, you know, ranked in the top 20 in the country.
All right, hope they get it done. They're having a great season. Sage Rosenfels, Sam Ekstrom, Locked On Vikings. We'll have a full game recap for you on Monday with Minnesota and Washington. Have a good one.